This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Oh, folks, we've made it. It is Saturday. You can now sit down. You can numb the hangover by ripping the cork out of a bottle of something. Put your feet up, dust off the poof, pop your foots on them, because we're in for a cracker today on Cravings. You're going to meet Sarah Kwan. Sarah's sitting in as the CEO of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. She's going to tell us all about the Theatre of Ideas, which is happening at next year's festival. And I can only begin to tell you how excited I am about the talent that's coming for that. You're also going to meet Rashenda Pritchard. She's a former winner and this year a judge of the Tin Chef event at the Big West Festival. And you will meet the very lovely Ben Costello, one of the... Loud music. Sorry. Ben Costello is, in fact, one of the alumni of the very talented and very lovely Shane Osborne from Pierre Terre, Perth boy, cooking up a storm in Perth. But first, of course, there is the foodie news. Plenty of cookbooks out at the minute. I think I'm getting two on my desk every day. But the one you need to go and buy is Heat, The Way Forward is Good Food. It has recipes from Ian Curley, Guy Grossi, Andrew McConnell, Luke Mangan, plus many, many others. Also has some words from food authors, Richard Cornish, who is part of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival Creative Direction team, and Neil Hargraves. Heat is an offshoot of St Kilda's Youth Service program, which gives 16 to 20-year-olds the chance to gain hospitality skills. It's a fundraiser and a textbook, and Guy Grossi is, in fact, the patron of that organization. Do go and grab yourself one of those. It's probably the most important book you'll buy for this Christmas season. Mission Australia's Charcoal Lane, the new and unique social enterprise restaurant that features an innovative training program focused on young Indigenous people, has gone mobile. They've had a donation of two vehicles which will transport trainees and apprentices to and from training programs and will support the external catering side of the business. Again, support for Charcoal Lane is always appreciated. A couple of nights ago, maybe last night indeed, in fact, was the opening of the Port Phillip Estate Winery down on Port Phillip Bay in the Mornington Peninsula. Apparently a good night had by all. Some very rough heads around this morning, from what I understand, including winemaker Sandro Moselle, who is responsible for many award-winning wines from across the peninsula, and he now has his stunning new winery to play with. Joy. That was clearly the shortest sting I've ever heard. I did mention at the top of the program that I have Sarah Kwan sitting with me. Before we start talking to Sarah... She sits before me. She's a vision. Her name is Sarah Kwan. She's the acting CEO for the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. We're spending a little bit of time over the last few weeks talking Melbourne Food and Wine, but I don't think we can talk about any festival that's more important to the food scene in this country than Melbourne Food and Wine. Sarah, welcome to Cravings.
Thank you, Pete. Always good to be with you.
Good, good, good. Now, first of all, I believe congratulations are in order. I need to know, winning the Melbourne Airport Victorian Tourism Award again, second year in a row or more?
Second year in a row, indeed. Second time we've entered, and two for two.
Two for two. Does it come with a sash and a tiara?
No sash, no tiara, but a stunning glass plaque.
A glass plaque. Is that something that we can then serve nibbles off in the Melbourne Food and Wine office above the Brown Market?
We'd give it a go. We'd give it a red hot go.
I reckon you would. I reckon you would. I know what your marketing manager is like. She loves a nibble.
She does. Look, hugely excited from our point of view. And I think the main reason is really this is an award we share with the food and wine industry. Mm-hmm. And it's testament to how much food and wine is a driver for tourism in Victoria. So I guess our thanks go out to all of the foodies and wine devotees out there that have supported the festival over the last 18 years.
Mm, 18 years.
18 years.
So you should be having a party this year as well. You've got your 18th.
We're starting plans on 20th year anniversary soon, so plans afoot.
I think you should do something really Australian and have a 21st rather than a 20th.
A 21st.
Yeah, a couple of kegs in the backyard of somewhere. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people to come along and support it. So the award was a major festival event with the Melbourne Airport 2009 Victorian Tourism Awards. What's that mean on the big stage?
Look, I guess from our point of view, it's hugely humbling because in an award category like that, major festival and events, Victoria is the events capital of Australia. Mm. So we're up against events like the Melbourne Cup Carnival, the Fashion Festival. So for people to put their support behind the Food and Wine Festival, it really says we're playing as one of the hallmark events in Victoria and, in fact, on the Australian front as well.
Excellent. Now, I did promise that I would try not to talk about David Chang, but I will because I am so very excited. David's coming out. There's a huge raft, and I've noticed with chefs coming out for Masterclass, and we did speak to Jill Duplay a few weeks ago when I wasn't here, a lot of North Americans or a lot from the Americas this year as compared to what has traditionally been a very European influence in the World Food and Wine Festival.
Look, I think it's important for us to look to different continents and different parts of the world for inspiration, and absolutely this year the lineup includes both East Coast and West Coast Americans, and David is definitely one of the most exciting, kind of the bad boy of the New York restaurant scene. And
for those that have never heard of David Chang, we should educate.
Absolutely. So David Chang, behind the Momofuku chain of restaurants. So I guess the thing about David is he is kind of championing slow fast food as a concept. His restaurants have dishes starting at $12. Some of them take no reservations, and yet he's made it into the top 50 restaurants in the world.
And he's a superstar because he's a bit naughty.
He is a bit naughty. He's fearless.
Yes.
And he's playing with Korean fusion cuisine and I guess pushing it forward on a U.S. front. And he's really, I think he never takes no for an answer, let's say. So fusion cuisine, very exciting and a bit of a bad boy.
How can you go wrong with that mix?
Exactly. And look, unfortunately, as you may have heard a couple of weeks ago, his sessions at Langham Melbourne Masterclass have sold out. But there is still the ability to see David while he's in Australia with one of the events he's doing that hasn't gone on sale yet. So
how do people keep in touch with what's going on?
Yeah, look, I think the best way is obviously to listen to your show every week. But shameless plug.
A little indulgent we are, yes.
But also melbournefoodandwine.com.au is our brand new refurbished website, and you can subscribe.
I was going to say, there's a newslettery type of thing
absolutely.
As well that keeps you up to date.
So, over this period, every kind of fortnight, we'll send out a newsletter updating people on new events that are going on sale, what's sold out, what they really should be taking heed of. So David's dinner will absolutely be featured in that to keep people up to date, melbournefoodandwine.com.au.
Excellent. You may even be able to come along and meet me because I will move heaven and earth to be there.
I know. Well, I mean, David Chang plus Cumulus Inc., Andrew McConnell, could you go wrong?
No. Will it be as good as my ultimate dining experience that I had at last year's festival, Renee Redzepi and Raymond Capaldi at Level 89?
Suffice it to say, it will be different to that, but I think they'll be pushing to at least equal that experience.
I do have to read out the wee text message we have here. Some of you may remember a couple of weeks ago, whilst I was in San Francisco, we had a guest presenter on the show. Her name was Amanda Pritchard. Here we have a text. Pete, love the show and great to be in Melbourne again. Apparently Amanda was in Melbourne to see none other than Pearl Jam last night. Just ate at Coda in our Hour of Power. Coda was amazing. Great food, great wine and great staff. Just the full picture of perfection. Big fans of Coda on this program as well we are. There is a story about Pearl Jam drinking Stephen Parnell's wine on stage last night.
Really?
Which is sort of kind of fun.
I haven't heard that.
I need to be more fully briefed on the story, and perhaps we'll bring more news next week. My name is Pete Dillon. This is Cravings. It is a well-oiled machine in here today, I can tell you. In the studio here with the lovely Sarah Kwan from the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. We've talked about David Chang. We've got over my little obsession. We've indulged
me. I don't think you'll ever get over that obsession, Pete.
Oh, it's just a little... Well, of course I have a Thomas Keller obsession as well because I ate at the French Laundry in San Francisco.
Festival alumni from last year.
I know. I only wish I had spent more time with him last year because it might not have been so bloody expensive. Speaking of last year, Heston Blumenthal, who is another temple that I worship at, I'm a huge, huge fan. He's actually got a new show coming on to SBS.
Fantastic.
Which I'm very much looking forward to. Heston was part of the Theatre of Ideas last year with Thomas.
He and Thomas did a combined session, and actually Renee Redzepi, who you mentioned before, was part of Theatre of Ideas. Last year was its first kind of inception, and We had a fantastic lineup. So this year, year two, and we just have two chefs in the lineup. We're focusing on two of the best.
Well, you don't get much better than a boy called Andoni Andriz. He was out here in 2007.
He was.
If we could use the term the master and the apprentice, he is the apprentice to Ferran Adria's master, at, formerly of Ebouyi.
Yeah, and look, I would think a lot of people would say that he is an earthier version of Adria. Mm. So he is part of the molecular gastronomy, it's always a mouthful, school, but probably in a more natural way.
Mm. What do we mean more natural?
Well, look, he still uses the scientific side of things, but it's not kind of the primary focus of his food. I think his ingredients and his understanding of those ingredients and celebration of them comes first, and then he uses those techniques to complement. So, Andoni, out in 2007, the darling of the festival that year.
Oh, and he is a darling.
Yeah.
How could you not like this man?
I have to say, we had one of the festival team, who you would know, move back to Europe last year, and a number of us thought it was because she had fallen so
No way. Oh, gossip. I like a bit of gossip.
just in terms of admiring Andoni.
Right,
so,
right. Because he has Muguritz, which is in rural
Just Spain. Outside San Sebastian. Mm. Yep, up in the mountains. And Muguritz is number 4 on the top 50 restaurants list this year. So he is no stranger to fame in the culinary world.
Mm. Is he as belligerent about not speaking English as Ferran?
Certainly I think a number of the Spaniards prefer to speak in Spanish. He certainly does speak English, but his preference will be to speak in Spanish and have translation. He has a local connection, though, and that is our ever-popular Royal Mail restaurant, Dan
at
Hunter.
Yes,
at Dunkeld.
Dan Hunter worked with him, didn't he?
Did, indeed. Mm. So, again, you mentioned master and apprentice before. I guess we've got a kind of a master and apprentice again with Andoni as the master and Dan as his apprentice almost. He was head chef at Muguritz, and now he is behind the very, very popular Royal Mail in Dunkeld. So it'll be great
and
to reunite those two.
For those who haven't been, may I suggest jump in the car one weekend, head to Dunkeld, stay at the Royal Mail because there's accommodation there as well. They have a wine list that I think is probably one of the best in the state, if not the country. It's in a building across the road. There's that much wine. It sits on the highway. Sommeliers quite literally run across the road to the wine store to get the wine that you've ordered, which is a highway.
And I think that whole area around Dunkeld is so stunning.
Oh, it's beautiful. And there's nice little wineries and stuff. It's
absolutely.
Sort of there on the bottom of the Grampians. So, yes, do get along. We like the Royal Mail. Now, is it as hard to get into Muguritz as it is to get into Ebouyi?
I think you'd have some competition on your hands, but perhaps not to the same scale.
So
I mean, a number of these restaurants are really small and focused on, you know, a small number of diners each time. So plan ahead. And
yes.
And make sure if you're in the area, you get to Muguritz.
Now, joining Andoni is another eloquent, gorgeous Italian chef. His name is Massimo Bottura.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, tell us a bit about Massimo.
Yeah, look, Massimo is, I suppose, he's been coined as having the most cutting-edge food in Italy. And, you know, we all know that Italians love their food and wine, but it's often in quite a traditional sense.
Mm-hmm.
And Massimo's known for really kind of pushing modern Italian cuisine. So his restaurant is in Modena in the north, and he really plays with color, with texture, with geometry even, and his restaurant's adorned
geometry,
indeed. So you can imagine his plates will be beautiful in terms of their presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And his restaurant is Osteria Francescana. It's a bit of a mouthful as well.
Oh, bravo, tu parla va bene italiano.
And he's sitting at number 13 in the world. So we're excited to have Massimo come along. We've heard he's got a pretty good sense of humor, and I think he'll do Italy proud when he hits Melbourne in March.
So again, this is a nice mix with the focus this year on the Americas to have some of these European superstars as part of the mix as well.
Yeah, but European superstars who are kind of the new wave. So I think one of the themes throughout the masterclass and you know, Langham Melbourne Masterclass and the festival overall is that it's a new wave of chefs. You know, the ones who are really pushing new trends. And someone like Massimo really represents that. So modern, new Italian cuisine, just like David's doing the kind of new Korean cuisine in New York.
How hard is it to get chefs from the top 50 restaurants in the world down to Melbourne, because it's not like it's a skip across the pond. It's a bit of a distance.
It is.
And I did mention before your creative direction team, and I think they have a lot to do with it, which is Jill Duplay, Richard Cornish, Ben Edwards,
and Tony Tan.
So those four are sort of basically doing the work of the previous incumbent, Matt Preston.
Yeah, look, we've gone to a panel approach, absolutely. Mm. And I think there's lots of factors involved. One is we've got a fantastic alumni. You've mentioned people like Heston. They are now out there talking about how fantastic the Melbourne food and wine scene is and actively telling their colleagues, get to Melbourne Food and Wine Festival if you can. You know, it's a fantastic experience, and this city gives people great hospitality when they're here. So, you know, we know how to do it right. Yeah. And so with people like Heston supporting us, it gives us a pretty good reputation on the global scene. And then our team is out there working really hard to recruit these names and, I guess, to bring some of the new ideas, the new trends that are out there to Melbourne, to put our fantastic chefs and winemakers on a global stage with those international stars.
Mm. Jamie Oliver's here in March. Is he going to be making a guest appearance at the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival?
Look, I think Jamie would be pretty excited to be part of Melbourne Food and Wine Festival 2010. So I think we'll see what we can do.
That wasn't a no or a yes, was it? I like your cagey answers. You've been in marketing before. So how do people get involved? Like, let's talk
Absolutely.
Through what the Theatre of Ideas is. We've talked about the people that are doing it. It's being presented by Cravatalicious Man himself, and a very close friend of this program, and myself, Matt Preston.
So Matt Preston, I guess, you know, a bit of nuts and bolts. What's the format like? So mm-hmm. Theatre of Ideas, it's Sunday the 21st of March. It's an $85 ticket, and it goes from 2 till 6 o'clock in the evening. Mm-hmm. And it's at BMW Edge. The format is a theatre style, as Theatre of Ideas would suggest. And Massimo's up first. He's on stage speaking, and it's really the thinking side of gastronomy. So you get a chance to hear about their vision, their mm-hmm. philosophy. We will have kitchens on stage, so they might do some demonstration, but you're getting into the mind of these chefs, and you're hearing...
It's often a scary place to be.
It can be. I think anybody who attends Theatre of Ideas will leave inspired, inspired in terms of what they want to eat, where they want to travel, and maybe what they want to cook at home. So you'll hear Massimo talk, a little bit of a break, and then hear Andoni talk. Mm-hmm. And Andoni will be joined by Dan Hunter, who we were talking about before.
And even if you don't speak Spanish or you don't understand his broken English, he's quite pleasant to just sit and look at.
Absolutely. and then no food and wine experience would be complete without a little touch of food and wine at the end. So once the kind of listening side of things is finished, then... everybody will have a bit of a drink and nibble and a chance to really discuss and debate what they've just heard with everybody else who's attended. So,
is there a chance to meet the guys post-event?
We'll do our best. We'll do our best.
See, I think I love the non-committal nature of these interviews.
Hey, not being non-committal, it's a pretty intimate event. You know, we last year when we had Ferran out, we had 1,200 people. This event's sort of 250, that sort of size. So, you know, you're up close and personal with these chefs from that point of view. And... you know, $85 tickets, it's a really accessible price point to get in and see two of the world's best chefs as well. So we're excited about that.
The voice you can hear is that of acting CEO of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, Sarah Kwan. She's talking us through the Festival of Ideas. Sarah, just before you go, because I know that you've got a young child running around out there somewhere with one of your colleagues, free events at Melbourne Food and Wine, what sort of percentage of the events that happen through the festival are free or at very low cost?
Yeah, look, we're, you know, particularly in the economic climate at the moment, but just overall, we're dedicated to making things really accessible. So this year, there's 100 events under $100 as part of the festival lineup in March. So when I say this year, I'm thinking 2010.
Yes, of course.
You know, some of the significant events as part of the festival, free access. So, really making sure that within that price point of under $100, there's huge diversity of programming right across the state.
And so we're doing the wine thing along South Bank again this year?
Cellar Door at Southgate, absolutely.
Beautiful.
Yep, $35 and 60 boutique Victorian wineries along there. So you can go
along and
stock your cellar.
60 wines as well.
Well, you can taste, you can stock your cellar, and I think find a few new favourite drops.
Which always happens at Cellar Door at Southgate. Sarah, thank you for joining us on Cravings today. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
Because this is now your third festival, isn't it?
It's the third festival, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
And I think in lots of ways the most exciting. I think, you know, you always are excited about what you're anticipating coming up. So I'd love you all to hear about it, melbournefoodandwine.com.au, for news of the festival.
Excellent. That is Sarah Kwan, Acting CEO of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. We didn't talk about the chairs that you're all sitting in to get pregnant. We'll have that discussion another time.
Always a pleasure.
And this track, there is a track we're about to play. It is being dedicated to one of Sarah's colleagues at the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. Her name is Ellie Rowland. It's not the one you wanted, Ellie, but here we go.
And now I'm touching everyone. Since your hands touched me, the fear of being upright is gone.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Yes, you're with me, Pete Dillon, back on Cravings on Joy 94.9. I have an SMS from Terry. Terry says, "Hi guys, love your show. Listen every Saturday. Recently went to both Vieux-du-Mont and Jacques Raymond. Both exquisite food, and Vieux-du-Mont was progressive. However, the overall winner was certainly Jacques Raymond. We're about to try Cutler & Co. and we'll let you know what it's like compared to the other two." Thank you, Terry, for attaching those pics. I am rather a fan of both of those restaurants. Another little restaurant I'm a fan of sits around the corner from my house in the beautiful Inner West in Seddon. Its name is Delizia Cucina, and joining me on the phone is the chef and owner of Delizia Cucina. Her name is Rashenda Pritchard. Good afternoon, Ms. Pritchard.
Hi, hey, how are you?
Good, thank you. Now, the reason I've grabbed you on the blower, you're involved in an event this Wednesday called The Tin Chef as part of the Big West Festival. You've won this event for the last 2 years, haven't you?
Yes.
Did they decide they weren't going to let you enter again this year?
I think I'd done my dash. So last year and then the year before, I won the event, and it's a fantastic event. Just so much fun, and really showcases the West and the diversity of cuisine, and it's just a lot of fun.
So let's talk about the event itself. What is the Tin Chef? I think this is a bit of a play on words from Iron Chef, from what I can understand.
That's right. It is exactly. It is just a takeoff of the Iron Chef competition on SBS, and it's just a really light-hearted competition between different chefs from showcasing the West.
Yep.
So different chefs of different cuisines and from different areas, different suburbs in the West.
Now, it's staged at the Footscray Market on Wednesday. I believe Matt Preston's going to pop his noggin in early in the morning. And essentially, it's you guys. It's the contestants cooking off on a kitchen stage in the forecourt at Footscray Market. Correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's in the foods area in the mm-hmm. Footscray Market, and there's a big kitchen sort of set up where the competition takes place, and they have lots of different things. They have a DJ, they have a different host every time, Shirley Billing
this year, and of course friend of this station, Fiona Scott Norman's going to be spinning some different plates on some decks.
Yeah, and and then there's the judges, Matt Preston's been in it for the last few years. He's been involved, and I think this year he's going to take more of a role. He's got more celebrity status, and that's fantastic for the event as well. It's fantastic that everyone's taking part and,
Now, along with you, there's Mary Ellis, who's from Slow Food Central Victoria. Shui Ling Hui, who's a food journo, yourself from Delizia Cucina, of course the winner of the last two, we can't forget mentioning that. Local celebrity Michael Clark. I like how the Lord Mayor of the City of Maribyrnong is in fact
a local celebrity.
And of course, because the event is part of Sugar Australia, they'll have their representative there as well.
Yeah.
Now, some of the entrants we know are Le Chien, who recently took on a new chef that had come from Werribee Mansion, amongst other places. And that's, I think, the best little brekkie in the West,
but
without yours, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy River Cafe in Footscray, which is an Asian...
Yeah, that's right. And Lucy Barnard is the chef there.
Mm-hmm. Harambe?
Yep, that's right. An African restaurant in Footscray.
Mm-hmm.
And two chefs, Michael Wharton and Christian Bernardos from Victoria Uni.
Excellent. And someone's even popping in from the Blarney Stone, I understand.
Yeah, which is great.
Not a bad feed down there either, if you like a chicken parmigiana.
Yeah, that's right.
So, is it a free event to attend?
It is absolutely a free event. And, you know, it's just fantastic that it emphasises, you know, everything the West has to offer. You know, the Footscray Market itself, which is so vibrant and just so full of colour and, you know, really cheap groceries.
I mean, it's terrific.
You can't get fresher or, you know, better than that. And, yeah, all the different chefs. And it's just, it's a really great, fun event.
So people can get along from 11 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the food hall at Footscray Market, corner of Leeds and Irving Streets in Footscray. You can't miss the Footscray Market if you head out Footscray Road. If you head out Dynon Road, you'll probably find it easier. From the city, Wednesday, 25 November, between 11 and 3, go and say g'day to Matt Preston. And, of course, go and say g'day to Roshenda Pritchard and, indeed, the other guest judges and, of course, those contestants from those places already mentioned. Why should we support this event, Roshenda?
Look, everyone should support this event. I mean, if it's just a fantastic event that really emphasises what the West has to offer, and, you know, everyone who goes will take something away from it, you know, whether it's just an interest in food or just an enjoyment of the show, you know, a few laughs or just to see the competition, it's going to be great.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go because I understand. Are you in the middle of service?
Yeah, that's right. Middle of lunch service.
Nice. A delizia cucina.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Roshenda, thank you. And if people want more information, they can, of course, go to the Big West website, yeah?
Absolutely, that's right.
Which is bigwest.com.au. Roshenda, thank you for joining us on Cravings.
No worries.
And I'm popping in for some breakfast soon.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Thanks, Del.
Thank you.
That was Roshenda Pritchard, who is one of the judges and a former winner of Tin Chef, happening at the Footscray Market this coming Wednesday. I think it's time for a bit of music, and given the last one didn't work, let's see what we can get here.
Who wants to be right as the rain is better when something is wrong? You get excitement in your bones and everything. Again, when night comes in you're on your own, you can say I chose to be alone. Who wants to be right?
I don't know why I'm struggling. I've had more than enough coffee. I'm hoping this next gentleman that just walked in the door is not going to be struggling. He's probably had a bit of traffic on the way. He's when we spoke about the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival just before, we were talking about a guy called Shane Osborne from Pied à Terre in London. He's a Perth boy that's gone to the old dart and made good. And one of his alumni is sitting before me. His name is Ben Costello. Ben, welcome to Cravings.
How you going?
Good, thank you. Now, you've just taken on a new role at Griff's Wine Pub in Fitzroy.
Yeah, it's been about a month now, taking over the head chef position there.
And have you taken up the wooden spoon and whacked the team into shape?
No, it's a pretty small team, but we're trying to move forward for sure, yeah.
Now, you worked with Shannon Bennett at Viewdemont as well?
Yeah, it was a while ago, and
So tell us how you take these steps, because you're, probably in your early 20s by the look of you. How do you take these steps to complete an apprenticeship and then find your niche and where it is you want to work and to get to this point? Because it's not obviously an easy thing. There's chefs out there by the hundred.
No, it's not easy at all. It takes a long time. You just got to keep being positive, keep looking. I've just always just tried to work in places where I wanted to go to learn the food and just went that way. And sometimes you're lucky and sometimes you're not. Sometimes things fall in your lap and sometimes they don't. So,
is it necessary for chefs to go overseas and gain some experiences at places like Pied à Terre with Shane?
Oh, not necessarily. I don't think so at all. I think if you want to cook and you want to cook good food, or if you've got that in you, it doesn't matter. You don't have to go overseas to get it. It's a lot of experience you can gained by going overseas, but there's so many good restaurants around.
But surely that helps. There are so many chefs who have gone and worked overseas and come back to Australia and cemented themselves careers, whether they're celebrity chefs or whether they're chefs who are working, 120 hours in a restaurant a week. Mm. It's almost part of the growing experience, is it not?
Yeah, I guess everyone does it. I guess it's just different. I think you get to a stage where you finished your apprenticeship and what's next, and a lot of the books you see in stores are all chefs from overseas, and all the food looks so wonderful and everything, so you want to go over there and work for them and see what it's like. And I guess a lot of people do that. But.
And how does somebody who's worked for 4 years on an apprentice's wage at $1.75 an hour afford to go overseas, sort of bang out of the apprenticeship?
You have to save.
I guess given you don't go out for a social life.
Yeah, you don't have a social life for about 6 months, and you go over there and you work for probably less than you're getting here as an apprentice sometimes, but... it's a lot of fun, you know.
Is there a chef you still want to work with? Is there somebody on your list? We've spoken today about Andoni Andriez and Massimo Bototo is coming out for Melbourne Food and Wine. David Chang from Momofuku in New York. I mean, there's this huge alumni coming up for the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. Do you sort of sniff around and have a yak to some of these guys to see if you can score a gig with them?
No, I think there's probably two places I'd... If I had to go and travel and work for someone, I'd probably be at Al Bulli, Fran Andrea.
Al Bulli with Fran, yeah.
Yeah, or Michelle Bra.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hear no mention of the fat duck.
I
guess you've done London.
You've got to put it down to two places. I don't know, but that'll be fair. It's just too many places. I could look through the world's top 50 restaurants and go through them, and that's... Most I'd work in any one of them.
Well, half of those chefs are coming out for the festival in March, so you won't have to go over there. You just get your resume printed up and run around with it. Now, the menu that's currently on the website at Griff's Wine Pub, is that yours?
This one here.
You have a look. Well, Griff's Wine Pub, of course, is in Fitzroy. They have a brilliant range of tastings and events. No, this is not your menu.
That's the former chef's menu. I was working there with him. But yeah, that's...
Because I'm very impressed that you've got a handmade camel pie. Those camel buggers pie. Are hard to catch, surely.
Yeah. Chase them down Berkstreet.
What's with this idea of taking, animals that are almost semi-feral? There are millions of camels running around in the northern part of South Australia and, in fact, in the Northern Territory and WA. Why do we have to have these ingredients on our menus, do you think?
I think people just want something different. I mean, like, it's hard to tell. Like, you can get sick of eating the same meat all the time, and sometimes you go to a menu and you see camel and go, oh, what does that taste like? Usually when it's braised, it's really hard to tell the difference between that and beef anyway. But, I think people just want the difference, and it's good to have those options. You don't want to just be... Everyone in Australia eating the same thing, you know.
So what can people look forward to on your menu out at Griff's now?
How do I explain this? It's a pretty simple menu at the moment. Standard a la carte menu. I've just put beef. I've basically got beef, chicken, quail. Obviously, the fish changes every day. Mussels, chorizo, black pudding. If you're in plan of black pudding for
buffalo. Yum. I love black pudding. My operator, the man that does the buttons and dials here, is just screwing up his face. Yeah. I quite often, we were just talking to Rashenda Pritchard, who's at Delizia Cucina in Seddon, about Tin Chef, and Le Chien in Seddon is also one of the entrants for Tin Chef, and that's where I have my breakfast, and they do beautiful black pudding, which they get, I think, from Andrew's Meat in Yarraville.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah. Do you make your own?
No, we don't make our own. The last time... Well, when I was working in Montreal, I had to make our own every day, and it was
quite a funny
experience. Well, we had this section in the kitchen, a dish area. It was a very big kitchen, and had to get in the skin and just get in these big tubs of pork blood and sit there and just basically ended up just blood all over us just to make sausages.
And for those vegans that are now leaning out the windows of their cars and vomiting in the street, I humbly apologise. Yeah. I didn't know that was coming. So black pudding is a blood sausage, like a blutwurst. Yeah. A blutwurst that's based on a German bloodwurst sausage.
Yeah, it's basically, it's just all blood. It's bread in there and spices, basically, and that's it.
What are the chewy bits in a black pudding?
It can be usually caramelised onion or usually diced bread or something like
Excellent.
That.
Excellent.
It's usually fat. It's usually pork fat.
I was going to say, you're not going to go any further with guts and blood, are you?
Nah.
The voice you can hear is that of Ben Costello. He is the new head chef at Griff's Wine Pub in Fitzroy. If you have a question for him or you would like to ask something of the program, 0427 joy949. You can SMS, you can phone 96992949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Ben, what do you cook at home? Or are you ever there to cook?
I get home pretty late, so...
Do you work 7 days?
No. Usually on my day off. If I cook at home, I usually just cook something simple. Very basic. No, I don't go all out or anything like that. Just a nice piece of meat or just a pasta dish or anything like that. But I try to avoid cooking at home. I try to go out and eat other people's food.
And is that where you get inspiration from, going out and trying stuff that other people are putting on their menus?
Yeah, oh, for sure, yeah. I just like sitting down and having someone else cook for me. I just think it's just...
I so get you.
Yeah.
As a former chef, I completely understand. So is there such a thing as a new idea with food, or are we just constantly taking old ideas and tizzying them up and making them a little different?
I think pretty much.
Because one of my favourite dishes is one that Ben Shuri was a guest on this program a little while ago, and he's got the potato that's cooked in the earth from whence it came.
Yeah.
And they spent 3 months trying to get the right type of potato.
Yeah.
To create this dish, and I don't think I've ever tasted a potato that is nicer than that at Attica.
Yeah, I've been trying to get there, but unfortunately, when the degustation menu's on, I'm working.
Well, this is it.
Yeah.
Is that one of the frustrations? Because it's you've obviously got to go and eat on a Sunday night.
Yeah, basically. Well, I drove one time all the way down out to the Royal Mail and...
On a Sunday?
It was a Sunday, yeah. Menu wasn't on, the chef wasn't on.
We've just been talking about Dan Hunter, and I've just been encouraging people to get down to the Royal Mail because it's an extraordinary property.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's nice. It's just the day I was there. I missed out. I got there on the wrong day.
You need to start making reservations, Ben. So have you tried the new ones around town? Have you been to Cutler? Have you been to Coda?
I've been to Cutler and Co, yeah, a couple of months back. That was great, yeah. It's really hard to get out because all the places I want to go to, I'm always working on the days I need to.
So do you have Sunday off or Monday?
Sunday and Monday.
You have 2 days off?
Yeah.
Good Lord, you're the only chef in Melbourne that's only working 5 days a week.
That's great, isn't it?
That's excellent. I want to know how you get that sort of gig. So obviously it is difficult. Did you always want to cook when you were young? Was it that thing when you were at school that you wanted to do?
No, I was into music. I was always playing in bands and stuff, and I started off probably you get a lot of chefs start off as a kitchen hand, so...
Right.
And just from
to make
there,
a few bucks.
Yeah, just to sustain my lifestyle. And then, just get a few... they start handing me a few jobs and get into it, and I go, this would be a great way to earn money. And I don't know, it just stemmed from there.
Where did you do your training?
Oh, where did I do training? The first place I ever worked at was Ruby Red's. It doesn't exist anymore.
But, right.
It's just down in Drury Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... a few different places as an apprentice, yeah. I went to a place called Danny Mentone. I forget the name of it now. But yeah, a few places.
Don't know that there's a lot that is memorable in Mentone as far as food goes.
No, it was a blues club, so...
Okay. I was talking to Stephanie Alexander a little while ago on this show as well, and I reminded her that as an apprentice, I begged her for work experience. I was a kid from the country. And knew that I was going to be in Melbourne. I took some leave from my job in this tiny little tin pot town in the northwest of Victoria, badgered her for 2 weeks work experience. I got one. She was very embarrassed when I reminded her. She told me she thought she was being a bit mean. And I guess that's where we develop this idea of you're working as a kitchen hand, you get a few jobs. Do you think, I could probably have a bit of a red hot Aussie go at this?
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes you just find things that you like, and I think it was just one of those things, just in the kitchen one day, and I actually look forward to doing some food prep, and you think, well, why am I washing dishes when I can actually be doing something with food?
Why am I looking forward to peeling carrots?
That's it.
Mate, some of the events that you have at Griff's, you do a lot of wine pub dinners.
Yeah.
Tell me about those.
Oh, it's basically, it's basically a club at Griff, so people come in and just have some sample wines where they can obviously taste them all, buy them in cases at a cheaper price, and usually just supply a little bit of food, usually like parfait or anything like that for them to have while they're trying the wine. So it's basically just wine promotion there.
Right.
Yeah.
So is there any special dinners coming up or food events that you're going to start taking on?
Well, not at the moment. It's going to get through Christmas at the moment. Yeah, no. I'll have to look in the bookings book. But I'm sure, yeah, that I think it's just right now, just looking forward to Christmas. I've obviously got the Christmas menu.
Are you doing something special on Christmas Day?
We're not open Christmas Day.
You seriously have the easiest freaking job, I'm telling you.
It's the first time I've eaten in a place that's not open Christmas Day.
So you're going to have Christmas Day off?
Yeah,
What the hell are you going to do? You won't know
yourself. I don't know. I don't really...
Dinner for one at McDonald's?
I'm sure I'll be cooking for someone.
Ben, it's been great to have you in. Mate, sadly, we've got to go.
Yep.
But thank you for coming in and joining us. If people want to know more, they can go to the website, which is... Do you know what the website is?
Griffs. www.griffs.
Yeah, look, why don't you pop into griffswinepub.com.au,
have a look at their What's On page, and of course have a look at their terrific wine list. Ben Costello is their new head chef, and mate, thank you for coming and joining us on Cravings.
Oh, thanks for having me.
SMS 0427JOY949.
What a program. I'm exhausted already, and I'm also salivating because I'm starving and I need a drink. So, again, you can text us at all times on the program, 0427JOY949. I'm interested to know if there's somebody that you actually want to meet or hear from on the show. You can phone 96992949. You can email onair@joy.org.au. If you would like to keep a little more associated with the program and you're a Facebook person, go into your search bar in the top right-hand corner and type in Cravings on Joy94.9 Melbourne. You can become a fan of the show and we'll keep you up to date, not with just what's going on the show, but indeed events and things that are happening around Melbourne that you want to be involved in. Thank you to my panel operator today, Lonnie, who does a terrific job every week. The music you heard today was Adele, Rider's Rain. You also heard from Angie Hart, her new single called Simple, which is just terrific. It was co-written by Ben Lee, who we all know of as well, that little snotty Australian. And I apologise to Ellie that the church track didn't work. You will have it next week. Until next week, this has been Cravings on Joy 94.9. My name is Pete Dillon. Coming up next is The Soul Shift.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.